Hi, everyone. Welcome to Third Space. I'm Kevin Weir, and joining me this week is Sad Timberland.
Hey,
Sad Timberland. How you doing?
Hey.
It's been a bad week?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it. All right, let's go. Nailed it. We nailed it, Jeremy.
Yes.
We got
podcast over.
Yeah. All podcasts
All
over.
All podcasts over. Everybody give up because that was perfect.
So welcome really to Third Space. You have to introduce yourself this time.
I'm Jeremy Verkley, the actual co-host.
Yeah. Sad Timberland had to leave, got a phone call, and started crying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's just sad.
Sitting out in the rain, crying a river.
No, that's Justin Timberland.
No, but Timberland was in it.
Was? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. He was, like, in a car.
It was for that stretch of time where Timberland was in everything.
You're right.
He never had his own songs, but he featured.
And then he released his own album, which I bought because I enjoyed the idea of Timbaland having his own album.
Did anybody feature on it with him?
Oh, like every song was like featured with that. He didn't have any song by himself on that album.
That's what he was doing before that. Before that, he was getting all these favors together.
Yeah.
He was like, hey,
now I will make a favor album full of all my favors.
Hey, Timberlake, I'm Timberland.
I think...
We shall fuse and be one.
I think my favorite track on that album, though, is the one where he does, like, he's, like, with Elton John, but Elton John just plays the piano. He doesn't sing at all, and the entire track is Elton John playing, and then Timbaland being like, yeah, mix it up. Yeah, let's do it.
So it's just Timbaland.
Break it down.
It's Timbaland Little Johning and Elton John playing
the piano.
Well, it's like when Santana is featured on anything, he just plays the guitar on
Except for Smooth.
Did he sing it Smooth?
No, he was just...
He just played the guitar on Smooth.
Yeah, that's right. He just played guitar.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, Hero of Our Times, Rob Thomas played.
Yeah, you're right.
At some point, I liked Rob Thomas's Facebook page. He's fantastic. He treats his Facebook page like just a dude with a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So he puts up like blurry photos of him like backstage with other celebrities.
Some celebrity selfies.
Yeah. Some photos of him on dates with his wife.
Yeah. That's nice.
It is really nice.
It's very humanizing, Rob Thomas.
It is.
Thanks for watching our podcast, by the way.
Well, it's humanizing to the point that I keep forgetting that he's not a personal friend. I'm like, who the fuck is Rob Thomas?
Rob Thomas.
The lead singer of Matchbox 20.
Well,
let's not disappoint
Rob Thomas, avid listener, and and we'll actually talk about what we're going to talk about. What's the topic this week,
Kevin? Topic this week is Tron computers.
Yeah.
I think you said that you have not actually seen Tron.
No, I've seen Tron.
You've seen Tron.
I've seen Tron, and I've also seen the Daft Punk remix of Tron, because I'll be honest, when I watched that movie, I was just like, I just love the music. I care way more about the Daft Punk side of this movie.
I think that's why the second Tron was like able to get made, because look at those helmets. Those are like Tron helmets.
Oh my god, Jeff Bridges is still alive. We can totally make another Tron.
We'll make him young again using CGI.
Yeah.
It won't look upsetting. So... when Tron initially came out back in 1982?
I don't know.
I think it was like 1982.
Sure.
I believe you. It was back when computers were just fever dreams.
Why is that guy sweating in his bed? Oh, he's thinking up computers.
Like they were around, but I think 1982
Still very big. That would have been the dawn of the personal computer?
Yeah, that would have been the dawn of the personal computer. Because the big thing in Tron is that he... works for a company that makes programs, and he owns an arcade. He's a game designer, because the big crux of it is that his games were stolen.
That's right.
His Pac-Man game was stolen.
Waka Waka.
Waka Waka. I made those Wakas.
Waka Waka Waka.
Jeff Bridges.
Me, Jeff Bridges.
I did it.
Tony Stark made this game in a cave with a box of scraps.
Obadiah Flynn.
That's, by the way, my favorite Jeff Bridges line in any movie. Well, I'm not Tony Stark. I just want him to flip all the tables after the scientist says that. It's like every table in the world flipped.
Just at once, just every table flips at once.
That's his superpower.
He's a terrible superhero. Or an awesome superhero, depending on where you keep your things.
Yeah, exactly. The villain's like, I have to stop putting things on these tables.
Depending on how invested that villain is in his tables, yeah, that'd be a terrible superhero. I keep putting my secret plans on my tables, and this guy keeps flipping them.
Ah,
oh, it's bullshit.
How does he flip desks? Are those tables too? anyways.
As long as they have four legs and they're on the ground, they're tables.
Okay.
Yes, so in that movie...
Kevin.
Yeah?
What has four legs, is covered in green fur, and if it falls out of a tree, will kill you?
What?
A pool table.
You are not wrong. I would die. Why is it in the tree? Who knows? Wild pool table trees.
Wild pool table trees. They're just like drop bears.
That's a sweet reference to another podcast.
Well, actually, I was playing Path of Exile.
Yeah.
And they added new enemy types since I played it last time. There are drop bears, but they call them something else. They're like plummeting like marsupials or something. No, I think it's plummeting Ursa is what they call it.
Man, so, they stole that from the campaign podcast.
Yeah, they stole it from the campaign podcast.
And we stole that from the campaign podcast.
Yeah, so it just reminded me. And I was like, oh, drop bears.
All right. So Flynn, Jeff Bridges Flynn, wants to prove that his games were stolen by this company called XCOM.
I don't remember.
In this episode, we're going to reveal to you that we don't research anything. We just sort of try to remember. So most of the information we come up with tends to be maybe a little bit off, but we mostly get there.
Well, I'm sure we remember just as much from the original Tron as most other people.
The thing is that I really like the Tron movies.
I watched it in my computer programming class in high school. That's how I remember it.
No, that's the worst movie to watch in that.
We convinced our teacher, actually.
Holy crap.
We were like, we should watch Tron. And he was like, it's a long weekend.
I need to get past the premise of this movie. So he wants to go and he wants to prove that his games are stolen by this company. But the company has something called the Master Control Program, which has been, like, buying companies and has been blackmailing the CEO of the company, XCOM.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, no. The computer program is, like, at one point the computer program goes, I was thinking about making leaps into China. Or he mentioned something about China. And because it's the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, Flynn, he being Flynn, can't, oh, you gotta stop playing with that, it's gonna make some bunch of noise. Flynn.
Yes.
Keeps trying to hack in, but he keeps on beaten back by this master control program. So he convinces his friends to.
Magic control problem?
Yeah, pretty much is a magic control program.
Okay, so this is fantasy now.
Yeah, pretty much. So he goes to the company to essentially hack directly in and get the evidence. And then the master control program hits him with a laser and sends him into the computer.
Right.
At which point he meets the programs that control the computer.
Right. Tron is one of the programs.
He's a security program written by his friend, and so he looks like his friend.
Yeah.
There's also Clue, which is a program that Jeff Bridges wrote, so he looks like Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like actual like people moving around, and they have this thing where the master control program puts them into games.
Yeah.
With, and that's where people know. That's the people will have like the disc thing.
Yeah, or the Tron cycle.
The light cycles. Yeah. And if they lose, they're destroyed.
Boom.
And these are the programs that make the computer run.
Yeah.
And at no point is it indicated like this is just the ENCOM system.
Yeah.
This is just because at the time people didn't know how computers work. They're like, oh, there's little people in it. And they're gonna, and there's an evil one and has these games.
Well, it might have been like a metaphor, you know. Like, I don't think the creator of Tron was actually like, there are tiny people in this machine.
Now let's jump forward 20 years to Tron Legacy, okay. When we know how where everyone knows how computers work.
Yeah,
and in that
that's
one,
not true.
In that one, they know this enough. In that one, they double down the crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Number one, Daft Punk is there, but we all know Daft Punk lives in computers.
They live in computers.
Yeah, they're essentially just robots. They're French robots.
When they go on vacation, they're surfing the information superhighway.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
That's what they do. Yeah. Daft Punk robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, actual robots.
Computer future robots.
Computer future robots brought back in time to bring us, you know,
sweet electronic music. Yeah.
All right. So in this one, have you seen Legacy?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Remember, I watched it for the soundtrack.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did. In this one, Jeff Bridges is kidnapped by the programs and brought into the computer again. And then his son goes in after him.
Is he kidnapped? I thought he went to, like, lead the rebellion.
No, from what I remember, he was, like, doing, like, some programming stuff.
Hasn't he been in there for a really long time? Because his son's like...
20 years.
My dad's been away for so long.
20 years.
I'm so angsty about it. My dad.
Pretty much, yeah. But he's been in there for 20 years.
Okay.
And he... What it reveals later is that Flynn went back in there and he was working with Clue, I think another program.
Yeah.
And they discovered... They discovered an autonomous, it stands for ISO, whatever it is,
yeah.
Which are machines or programs that just spontaneously happened and can fix discrepancies in medicine, science, and religion. Because we all know what people listen to.
Religion comes from computers.
Yeah, when random people show up being like, I did the calculations. There's when the people listen to them, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it's going
to
work.
That's what Galileo did. Everybody listened to him.
Yeah, totally.
He was like, guys, I figured this out. And they were like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Thanks, Galileo.
So, so Clue, however, I don't know, was upset about it. So he trapped Flynn in there, killed the ISOs. And then the premise of Legacy is the son goes in there and Clue wants to escape into the real world.
Right.
Right.
I remember that part.
Right. And then at the end,
there's like a girl program that escapes.
Yeah, she comes to the real world and becomes a real flesh and blood human.
Yeah. Well, that's because, Kevin, you gotta bone down on something.
And then we're just gonna leave her in the tech world. Clearly, we're going to break all manner of... Okay, so what we're talking about in this episode is the fact of having computer programs that are actually like sentient beings that can be destroyed and somehow...
Enter the real world.
Somehow enter the real world.
Okay, now, that was a very long introduction.
Well, here's the thing. This is one of the things that we brought up that is just so clearly... like, crazy and insane. I don't know how much we're going to be able to talk about it. Someone just being like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What is happening?
Well, first of all, if we're talking about programs coming into the real world.
Yeah, that's one thing, yeah.
And they're sentient. The real question is, what types of programs would be trying to enter the real world? Because I guarantee you, like, someone who's just, like, a worm program, like the game Worm, who's like, I just go around eating stuff all the time, is probably not going to be, like, the person who's like, I need to enter the real world and eat all their things. Like, probably not.
But if it does, like, they're very clear. They look like the people who wrote them.
Yeah. Doppelgangers.
Doppelgangers everywhere of programmers.
Oh, man, I would write a program and then get it to escape and then get it to do all my chores. This is a Calvin and Hobbes storyline.
Well, no, that's perfect, because you create, like, a cleanup program, bring it into the real world, and then it must clean up.
And then it must clean up.
But then it must... Then you have to make sure there's always something dirty, or else it must clean up.
It's okay, I'll just live with, like, three other dudes. I'll always be
Take
messy.
That, men!
Take that. I can say that because I did live with three other dudes for, like, 2 years.
So you know how
I know how messy it gets.
But the cleanup program will clean it up.
It will clean it up.
It will clean it up.
It'll be like, hey, you left cutlery in your bedroom. Not anymore. Clean.
The biggest thing that I think would be problematic about it is having to deal with the fact that when you create a program in a computer,
yeah,
it can also join these games and just be destroyed.
That's true.
So you're just like, hey,
where'd my cleaning program go?
Where's McAfee?
Who put it in the light cycle races?
Oh, sorry. He lost valiantly. I don't care. I got viruses everywhere now. You guys have to deal with that, by the way.
Yep.
At this point, you're just yelling at your computer.
Well, there'd probably be some sort of vocal interface developed.
In Tron Legacy, there's a bar that they go to.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's a bar. That's where Daft Punk is.
Yeah, that's where Daft Punk is. They're just hanging out.
Which means, wait, does that mean that whenever like a program won't open, is because they're like at the bar, it's like, hey, the user wants to activate you, and he's like, ah, shit, all right, and he collapses and falls down.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is ever made clear in a Tron movie, but there seems to be the implication that time moves differently in the computer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's why it doesn't take like an hour for that drunk to sober up.
Yeah, and like go back and boot up.
And launch Overwatch.
Yeah. By the way,
so that means every
if
like,
people
outage.
Knew about this technology of bringing programs into the real world, there would be, and I'm sorry, there'd be a bunch of nerds who would make sex programs and then just bring them into the real world and hope that they... But except they would look like the nerd, so...
Because they're the ones who wrote it!
Yeah, so... But
well, this is disappointing.
There would be a bunch of people trying to make sex programs, but it... Getting back to our moving paintings from Harry Potter, is this masturbation?
Trying to make Olivia...
And why am I making it sexual? That's your job.
Trying to make Olivia Wilde programs.
Yeah, No, they would.
Oh, no... Yeah, no, that would, but no, they would stop right after the first one, like, ah, crap.
Ah, crap, it looks like me.
Yeah, I guess I'm into this.
Wait.
Wait, am I into this? Okay, we're
going
to
Step one, get plastic surgery and a sex change. Step two, program a program. Step three, change my sex back.
Man, it might just be easier to find a girlfriend. No!
But that would happen.
No, yeah, that would happen.
It would happen.
It would be on, like, BuzzFeed, and then the BuzzFeed program would be like, I can't deal with this, and it would leave.
BuzzFeed would not be like, I can't deal with this. BuzzFeed would be like, I need more things like this.
Give me all.
Does it have a misleading thumbnail?
Give me one picture of an attractive woman and the rest of them can be anything. Just some, like, Jabba the Hutt size.
Wait, I thought of another implication of this. So there would be a woman making sex programs, bringing them into the real world, and selling them to people.
That would be better than the nerds doing it, yeah.
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 No, there would. She'd be like, I have this program I made, just loves having sex. How much you gonna pay me for it?
Right into the real world.
Well, with my Tron laser.
It's very unclear. I think it's because that woman was an ISO or, you know, essentially Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just cyber Jesus.
Well, it's spontaneously created sentience is what it is.
Okay, so Olivia Wilde is the coming of cyber Jesus.
Cyber Jesus in my computer, got a bone down on the sweet Cyber Jesus.
The unfortunate part is Cyber Jesus is super hot.
Yeah.
Or it's a good thing. People... Depends on the mind of society at that moment.
I guess that's true. It's like that South Park episode where Cartman becomes a Christian band.
Yeah.
And then the CEO's like, it sounds like you want to love Jesus, but like in a sexual way... Yeah, it'd be like that.
Well, if Jesus was Olivia Wilde. Olivia Wilde was the one in Tron Legacy.
I don't know.
Olivia Munn is not... It's Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Too many Olivias.
God damn it.
Everybody world. Can only have one name. Every other Jeremy out there, I'm sorry. You need to either change your name or I'm going to come for you.
That's aggressive. You got
Jeremy enough. Irons, you're next.
Next,
again, avid listener Jeremy Irons.
Avid listener Jeremy Irons. Eating up scenery. Just as he does.
Yep.
Back to the computer programs.
Okay, what's something else that would come into the real world? Or that people would make for the specific purposes for coming into real world, I guess.
The big thing is that, like... So, Clue wanted to come to the real world, and no one really wanted to bring him into. He wanted to come to the real world and put his own... What was it? His own, like, ideals on the world. Now, yeah. I'm going to put this out here right now.
Put it out there.
I don't think that would have worked as well. Because he's not coming out and being some sort of, like, god of control.
No, he would have been like, these are my ideas. And people would have been like, I don't care, lol.
He's Jeff Bridges, who for the last 20 years has been missing.
Yeah.
And was the CEO of a tech company.
Yeah.
So it would be very similar to if, man, I don't know the names of any CEOs of tech companies.
Zuckerberg? Facebook is a tech company?
Yeah. I mean, okay, imagine if in 20 years Steve Jobs comes back and he wasn't actually dead.
He was just trapped inside a computer.
Just trapped inside a computer. He comes back and then starts trying to, like...
And he's wearing a blue turtleneck.
A blue turtleneck.
Because it's the future.
So he comes back and then he starts trying to, like, bring all these, like, control ideas to the world. Do you think people would listen to that or they'd just be like,
no, people would be like, fuck you, future Steve Jobs.
You've been gone for 20 years. We're into other things now. There's Pokemon Go.
There's Pokemon Go 3.
We just put him right into our eyeballs. There's
Pokemon Go Home.
We actually made... We actually made mutations, and the actual animals are running around now.
That's
welcome
right.
To the future, 15 years from now.
Yeah, you're right. People would be like, F that noise.
Yeah, so I don't think... I find it funny how they were so worried about Clue getting into the real world.
Yeah.
When...
Well, you can't... Well, here's the thing. They don't really give us a lot of information on the, like, outside world of Tron. Well, maybe it's a Shadowrun type like thing where corporations are actually just running everything.
Well, I mean,
in which case, there is ahead of a CEO, like the CEO of a tech company, would have the authority to do that.
There is the thing in the first movie,
yeah,
where the master control program is like acquiring other businesses and we'll make deals with China.
The sinister Far East
of China.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like a Shadowrun type, especially if they have like, if they could literally take a program and be like, murder everyone,
yeah,
and send it into it. Like,
yeah, they would do that.
I think, I mean, yeah, there's viruses, but like these are actual human-type robots that apparently can just go into... Regularly, programs are destroyed in games. They just have these gladiatorial-style murder simulations.
Well, if Clue got out, there would be those gladiatorial, like, murder things, like, but in the real world. They'd be like, here's this motorcycle...
Why doesn't light come out the back of it? Why aren't they walls?
Whatever, just run into each other till somebody dies.
I am Steve Jobs.
It's actually Siri in human form, but it looks like Steve. Looks like Steve Wozniak.
This would make that movie Her much different.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish we could be together. Well, we could. I'm a person inside a phone. Oh man, there'd be little tiny people in our phones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they are computers.
So you could just randomly lose, like, applications or...
Yep.
Every time you lose your cell service, that's just that program temporarily
dying. You know what?
Dying.
I feel like people would not use computers as much because they are not that... They would not be reliable.
No, they're not as reliable.
Your files could just disappear.
Because you're totally out of control of the madness, the Mad Max future-style world that's going on inside your computer.
The Mad Max scarescape inside your computer.
Exactly.
All right. You'd be like working on something and be like, ah, shit, it got deleted again. I need to make something that can hold my audio data, but also kicks butt at gladiatorial combat.
I'll make that program and send it in to defend, my poetry. Or people would just be a lot better at like doing programming because they got to constantly make their own program to protect their stuff.
Yeah, everyone would have to know programming.
So the world will be very different.
Yeah.
All right, let's head over to commercial.
Okay. Today's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by Existential Angst because, you know, I have so many good ideas for this commercial. I just can't choose one.
Yeah, what do we...
Existential angst, everybody.
I don't want them to support us anymore. Those dark moments. I went to a dark place in the silences.
Well, go to your happy place where there's ponies eating rainbows.
They eat rainbows and poop out gold.
Yep. Gold diamonds.
Gold diamonds. And back to cyberspace.
Back to cyberspace.
What more is there to talk about this?
Well, I think the other side of this is we've already talked about, like, programs coming out.
Yeah.
And people making programs specifically for them to come out and fulfill their sexual desires.
Well,
but there would be
sexual desires.
Yeah, there'd be another class of individual involved in this, and that would be the people who wanted to go live in the computer world.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
There'd be people be like, what do you mean I can talk to my calc app?
I always found him so attractive.
I want to do that. Not only that, there would be people who'd be like, wait a minute, this person made this program. That program looks like this person. I will go into the computer and seduce that program.
But
and if everyone's programming, there's literally a copy of everyone there. Your dream girl found the guy that she likes? Well, you can always just go into the computer and try to seduce her program.
And if it doesn't work, you kill them and a new program comes in.
Yeah, it takes their place. Redo.
Oh no, I screwed up the first date. Well, time for murder.
I challenge you to disc battle.
Voom, voom,
voom. Waka, 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 waka.
So I think those are their identity. I think they call them identity discs.
Yeah.
So, like, that is their...
Yeah, that's their identity.
Because the point in Legacy is that they want Flynn's identity disc.
Yeah.
Which will allow them to go into the real world.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know what... I have no idea what that means. I don't know what it means that that's
it's
your identity
disc. It's never explained.
It's like, this is your identity disc. Throw
this
it at
people.
This
is you. It's basically, they're like, this is... your immortal soul.
Throw it at
people. Throw it at
people.
Tron just became way more metal.
Take your soul out of your chest. Throw it at your enemies. Kill them. Now.
Destroy your enemy soul.
Get on a bike. Put out a wall. Smash them. Smash them. Smash.
Yeah.
I don't know what those bikes represent either.
So much more awesome.
Like, they're very, like things representing
well,
things.
Well, that's that wall that comes out the end of your bike is your soul fart.
It's your soul fart?
Yeah, light bikes are powered by your soul, so it's farting out
your soul fart. That concept
yeah,
that everyone knows.
Exactly. And everybody knows that.
It's your soul fart.
It's very popular.
It's very popular in my circles. We always sit around talking about our soul farts.
Yeah.
What color they are, how they smell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Soul farts.
Exactly.
So the lights, well, are they supposed to represent, like, firewalls?
Yeah, I think so.
And you're putting up firewalls?
I think they took the idea of a firewall.
Put it on the back of a bike.
And put them on the back of a bike. But, you know, We've already been over that Tron doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And I don't think people quite understand how batshit crazy is. All they think about is like, oh, yeah, no, there's bikes with the trails behind them. No, it is an insane movie.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane that Master Program wants to make deals.
Well, like, I made a joke about it being fantasy at the beginning, but really it follows a lot more fantasy tropes than science fiction tropes.
Yeah, it doesn't even try to be like, here's what could happen.
It's not like, here's the technology and the science behind this. It's just like, nope, soul farts.
Does anyone literally have Cyber Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cyber Jesus.
Yeah.
Come to our world to...
And, of course, the modern era Cyber Jesus would be an attractive
would
woman.
Be Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course it would.
God. All right, so people enter the computers.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't know what the end goal of that is.
Well, you could see they're trying to find either someone that they're attracted to that they cannot be with in the real world, or two, they just want to be badasses who can kill things with that zero repercussions.
So it's for...
It's for horn dogs and criminals, Kevin, is what I'm saying.
Wait, here's something. So we sort of brought up something like this in the Pokemon one, but since this one, there's actually people who are... like entering the computers, and this wasn't around as much in like the original Tron.
Yeah,
but transfer of data is super common now.
Yeah,
like cloud and Wi-Fi and all those things.
Well, what would the cloud even be in Tron?
It would. I imagine it would be like some space that you can go through to get to other computers, which means criminals literally could go into computers, go to your house, come out of the computer.
Only if you had a Tron laser.
Well, I have to assume everyone has Tron lasers. Well, why wouldn't you? That's how you get your stuff.
That's how I get my stuff. Do they, though? Because here's the thing.
Got the crazy bills for a Tron laser
objects,
discount.
No objects come out of the computers. Just people. Just fully clothed people. Which, by the way, makes no sense.
Different clothes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're actually wearing clothes in the Tron world.
No.
That's just their Tron skin.
Yeah, it's just their Tron skin.
Also, Tron's a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even the main character. He's just another dude.
Yep.
That helps Flynn and doesn't appear in the second movie.
No, he does.
I mean, yeah, he does, but like...
He's been taken over. Now he's evil Tron.
And you don't realize that until the end. As soon as you realize it, he crashes into the guy and they both fall into the...
It's his redemption.
Yeah, it's true. The entire movie, you're like, where's Tron?
He's in the boot drive.
We're going to have to boot up from the boot drive.
We're going to have to restart the whole system.
Wait, would safe mode just be everyone just like being like a little bit more mentally deficient?
No, safe mode would be every program is wrapped in like styrofoam.
No, they're those big balls.
Yeah, they're like in giant balls around. And they have to roll around.
What happened? We got booted in safe mode. Brrr.
Brrr. Yeah.
But I think there's something with...
I'm unable to perform my function. Stupid safe mode.
So, what do you think would be safer? Taking a plane across the sea?
Yeah.
Or going into a computer and taking a cyber plane across the cyber sea?
It depends who's in control. Because in the first movie, it's the Master Control Program, right?
The Magic Control Program.
And the second one, it's Clue.
Yeah.
And both of them create pretty shitty places to be.
Yes, they do.
Right? If you have something that they want, they're going to send, like, those Space Invader ships after you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, really, it depends on who's in control of the system.
Well, no. Does that mean that every single computer program is just a totalitarian government with, like, a master program in charge and everyone just trying to survive under its rule?
That's the way that operating systems work, Kevin.
Okay.
There is an operating system, and then all programs beneath that operating system behave according to the operating system.
So really...
That's why Apple programs can't work on a Windows program unless you have some sort of emulator that works.
Because they're all racist.
Yeah.
So really, and Linux is just a bunch of people with like tools being like, what do we do now?
What?
What do we do?
What do we do?
You want us to do it?
Okay.
No, you do it and we'll do it. Just tell us what you want us to do. There's no one else here but us.
Three computer nations.
Alike in dignity.
Yeah. Also, I just want to bring this
up. Wait, so we got Romeo and Juliet.
I just want to bring this up, Kevin.
Yeah.
Skynet totally exists in this
universe. Yeah, I know you bring it up. It does. If there's any world where Skynet would... Yeah, it's this one.
Yeah, it would exist.
But it's being beaten back by the rebellion forces.
Well, it's just... There's not just one Skynet. There's like a million Skynets.
Let's take a second. We got, we got some time here.
Okay.
I want us very quickly to go into like a super meta podcast.
Okay.
We're going to go another layer deeper here.
Okay.
I want us to combine Terminator with the Tron world.
Okay. So Skynet exists.
Skynet exists.
And do androids exist?
Yes.
Do the Terminators exist?
Yes.
Okay.
So people go.
Here's the thing. People would go in and then, how do you become a Terminator is the question. Because people would be like, if I go into a computer, I become a program, and then you can put me in a Terminator body, and that's awesome.
And then I'll fight on your side.
And then I'll fight as a Terminator for the humans. That would be the entire Resistance's plan. They'd be like, we can go back in time and save John Connor. Or we can go into computers, steal the Terminator bodies, and kill Terminators with our Terminators.
And then all will be Terminators.
We'll all be Terminators.
And then they have to get to like where Skynet is and just go through the internet and literally throw discs at it.
Yeah, or they would go into the computer to fight Skynet directly. Instead of being like, we have to take out Skynet's hard drive all over the world, they'd be like, no, we can just go into the computer and F with Skynet. Watch out for the Space Invader ships, though.
So you have two different fights going on at the same time.
Yeah.
You have the outside fight of
and
people
the cyber
in Terminator
fight.
Bodies.
And also, Skynet would not... There'd be no cyber Jesusing with Skynet around there. It'd be like, what do you mean something not under my control? Belated.
but here's the thing, though. It's not as simple as just being, like, deleted. Skynet has to find them.
That's true.
And kill them.
And kill them with their identity.
So what we have here is just a rebellion in a rebellion.
Yeah.
This is like
you want it to go meta.
This is like a Russian nesting doll of rebellions.
Yep.
And inside each and every Terminator is another rebellion.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, unless it's like a closed system. If there's only one program in the Terminator running it.
Mm-hmm.
So either there's a rebellion inside each and every Terminator.
All you have to do is get the hint of rebellion into a Terminator, and you can spark a rebellion in each Terminator.
Yeah. Yep. This is the truth.
There's just so many rebellions. So this is a pitch for our new movie, Terminator Rebellion in Rebellions.
No, this is a pitch for our new crossover movie.
Right, sorry.
Tron Terminator.
Rebellions in Rebellions.
Yeah, that's the subtitle.
And it's spelled with Ys.
Because why not?
Why not indeed?
Are you happy now, Kevin?
I'm pretty happy with how that... We still got some time to talk about some other things.
Yeah, sure. Well, we could talk about how Skynet would literally just hunt down any cyber Jesus.
Well, of course they would, but that's why you have the rebellions.
Yeah.
The rebellions to protect the cyber Jesuses.
So that they can come into the real world and we can bone down on them.
Yeah. And then we put the cyber Jesi, because it's in Legacy, there's multiples of them. It's just the only one survived.
Yeah. You know what? I just realized, Kevin.
What?
There's no overweight people in Tron, like inside the computers.
No.
They're all just super attractive people. So the implication of that is only super attractive people can make programs, or everyone in the Tron universe is just really attractive.
I mean, it's a movie universe.
That's true.
Did I ever tell you the Buffy the role-playing game thing?
No.
Okay, so there's Buffy the role-playing game.
Yeah.
And it's a role-playing game. You know, that you have skills. You like charisma, things like that. And I think all of its skills start from zero.
Yeah.
It says in the game that every single person who goes to Sunnydale High is at least one charisma. Because zero is human base.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So everybody there is more attractive than a regular
human. Yeah, because they're all actors. They're all Hollywood actors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Tron World. That's the one thing that will always come up whenever we do any sort of like movie or TV show in the real world. Everyone will be more attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Unless it's explicitly in the universe that it's not that way.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. As if it's a unless if it's no one of those things. But even like people will be like Hollywood ugly.
Yeah.
Hollywood ugly. You never heard Hollywood ugly before?
I have. It's a funny phrase to me.
It is a funny phrase because Hollywood ugly is not ugly.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would the programs that come out into the real world be like, try to fight somebody with their identity disc and then be like,
it's just a rock?
They're like, what? Where's my identity disc? How do I murder?
They would go through a transitional period.
Sick program walking around being like, why can't I just fly everywhere?
Tron Legacy ends with the computer program, who's never been out of the computer program, seeing the sun and being all happy. Don't you think they'd be like, what the fuck is that? There's a flaming ball in the sky.
Why is there not just ambient light everywhere?
Why is everything not blue?
Or green or purple?
Where's all the neon?
How do I tell if somebody's evil and nobody is red?
This place is terrible. Put me back in the computer.
Hello and welcome to transitions class. I'm your instructor, Ben Stein.
Why would Ben Stein's not a human being.
Exactly.
He's a lizard in a skin suit.
That's why he's the best one to teach these programs to integrate with the human world.
You might see a flaming ball in the sky. Do not worry. It will not destroy you. It will also not shoot lasers at you.
It will only destroy you in 5 billion years.
But do not consider that. So, wait, do they actually get, human bodies?
It's never... Because that's crazy. Never see anybody boning down on that cyber Jesus, so you don't know.
It's just like a Barbie doll underneath.
Yeah, you don't know if it's like some weird like porcelain doll thing, or if they have flesh and bone, or if it's a bunch of circuitry. Like, never explored, never explained. I don't know what you were expecting. Like, we've already established the Tron universe is horrible at this.
I know, but like that seems very, very important. Would just matter and organs and bone all created? I mean, matter was created from nothing. Let's be...
Okay. Let's go back a second. There's a laser that takes matter and makes it a computer program.
I mean, yeah.
Stick your science in your pipe and smoke it, Kevin. It doesn't apply here.
This is my plot hole laser. It fills in all plot holes in anything it shoots.
Yeah. Yeah. Deus Ex Machina, man.
That laser's dumb. That's a dumb laser.
I think we've established this. The entire movie, if you think about it, pretty dumb.
Okay. Now, I would like to put in one last thing.
Okay.
I think we have a little bit of a shorter episode than other ones, but we'll see how long we talk about this for.
Okay.
I'm going to put in one last thing, and that's the idea that a computer built in 1982 was still functioning at peak level.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't work.
No. No.
No.
No.
That circuitry would be so worn out.
I have a computer that was in 1995.
Yeah.
And it is rough on the inside. Yeah. Those computer programs are hobbling around on half-built legs.
Well, I mean, if it was connected to a network or you replaced components, like, you could do it then.
But those would be different programs.
Like, if that's just the interface to a larger computer type idea.
Because I guess. So wait, is the premise there because Clue's still around?
Yeah.
And Tron's still around?
Yeah.
I mean, Clue was corrupted.
Yeah.
And Tron was purposefully corrupted.
Yeah.
But that means so I guess that's what happens. Essentially, the programs don't die because Clue looks the exact same as CGI Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
So you can't. What was it? So like they don't seem to age, but they do seem to corrupt. Like we've never seen a really, really old program. Are they just like falling apart, or do they just go insane as computer programs are wont to do?
Well, imagine if you only had one purpose in life. And then, because the world changed, that purpose no longer directly applied to you. What would you do?
Damn, we are sponsored by Existential Angst.
That's right. We are.
Sponsored this entire episode. They paid us so much money, but that, I mean, no money at all.
They just
told us Existential Angst.
But no, that's the entire idea of a robotic paradox, right? It's that same type of idea where if something is made to do something, but then it can no longer do that thing, what happens? And the answer is usually, well, batshit crazy things.
Okay. So if you just held on to a computer program, just moved it from like computer to computer.
I guess those programs that came out into the real world, if they couldn't fulfill their function, they would probably go crazy.
But eventually they're incompatible with systems. It's like when you try to open up an old thing.
Yeah.
Is that
Windows 95 program is just like sitting there being like, I can't move.
You can't play this game. This game is too old.
Yeah, but and then still, another program has to come along and be like, it's okay, I can translate.
or Control-Alt-Delete.
Yep.
And it's just like this Reaper that comes in.
Whoosh.
Oh God, he summoned the Control-Alt-Delete. The end task is coming. Man, Tron could be awesome.
I think we need to make a Tron movie, Kevin, that is just way more metal than the other Tron movies. We'll just call it Tron 3000. And everything will be shiny and chrome and metal.
Can you imagine the moment when a program just like stops responding?
Yeah.
And you have that choice to end task or wait. If they're just like being held, like, don't press end task. I can do this.
No, I can do it.
And then there's like, skeletal hand reaches out from the ground. No.
That's not metal enough.
Okay.
It's like a flaming demon hand.
Just comes up and grabs them
and then pull. Like the flame like disintegrates them until there's nothing but the identity disc and it pulls it into the earth. Yes. Don't freeze. Whatever you do, don't freeze.
Don't freeze. It could be a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because the first one, I can't believe I forgot about this. One of the things a master control program did is like, there's a religious order in the Tron world, which is the user, which is the person who's telling everyone what to do. It makes sense.
Yeah.
The master control program had usurped that order.
Yeah.
So the master control program literally was Skynet.
Yeah.
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 100%.
Totally.
They're in the same world. They're just different. Like, so where's the Terminator?
It's a different timeline.
Yeah. No. In one timeline, Flynn succeeded, and in one, he failed.
Yep.
because the master control.
He thought it was all about John Connor. Wrong. Aaron Flynn.
They needed to get Jeff Bridges in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that Terminator movie where they have to go back in time? And
be like, reboot it again.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's call it. It's a little bit short of an episode, but I think we hit some good points in there.
Yep. I think we explained Tron as well as it can.
We also explained Terminator as well as it can.
Hey, if I can sneak Skynet in, I will.
You were going to get Skynet in this one. There's way you were.
Oh, yeah. There's no way I wasn't going to.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to The Third Space.
Yeah. If you like us,
you can follow us on Twitter at Third Space Cast.
Yes.
You can also send us an email at thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like us, you should rate and review on iTunes.
Yes.
Those 5-star ratings and written reviews really help us.
Yes, we would love to hear what you think. You can also send us some topic ideas if you want to see what we can absolutely destroy.
Yep. Or you know, if you just want to talk about feelings.
We'll talk about feelings with you.
Yeah, we'll talk about feelings with you.
We'll let you know when we're next sponsored by an abstract feeling.
Yep.
And you can talk about them.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk about them.
I think that's all the housekeeping.
Well, our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo
Swing Orchestra. Yeah.
Yeah. Which you don't have to edit in anymore.
No, I don't have to edit in anymore. We now know what it is. It's great. Yeah.
Perfect. let's see. Twitter, we did. Yeah, email, Twitter, we did. Email. iTunes, we did. Oh.
We have a website.
We do have a website.
Yeah. And you can actually comment on the... if you want to put a comment directly on an episode, you can actually do that on the website. The website is thirdspacepodcast.com.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you want to see more of Kevin... well, hear more of Kevin. He also has another podcast on that website called Level Zero that he does with some other people.
Yes, it's an actual play D&D podcast with people who've never played D&D before.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more of me, complain to Kevin.
We'll figure it out.
Or you can email like us or send tweets. Just I'll respond, probably.
Yes, you will.
All right. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right.
So this is the point usually where I tell you what we're doing next episode, but I'm not going to tell any more lies at this part because my dad got upset that we weren't actually betting on who was going to be president after I said that.
Exactly. So, Jeremy's father, here's the absolute truth.
We will never lie again.
Yes.
At the end of our podcast.
Next week, we're going to talk all about butts.
All about butts.
All about butts.
It's not a lie.
Why would it be?
Why would we?
Thank you for listening.